So who cried?
I cry for everything, but yeah, I cried twice.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I was really close to crying when he told his dad that he'll still have him.
I didn't cry, but I knew I could have if I wanted to.
If you really thought about it, you could drop a tear.
I'm watching, you know when you see something funny, you don't laugh, you're like, that's funny.
Right, right. Yeah. I almost cried when he did the drum solo at the end. I thought that was very impressive. Oh, no, I'm thinking the other J.K. Simmons is a dick yelling at a young guy.
Is that Whiplash?
Yeah, talk about Whiplash. Sorry.
Movie now, you hate?
Yeah. Well, I don't hate Invincible. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Soup podcast, where we're just talking about Invincible. Just an episode of Nerd Soup, not the podcast. Joined here today by Aaron the Nerd Soup Monkey and Teddy. And like I said, we're back to talk about the season finale for what has been an incredible first season for the TV series Invincible.
Are we sure it's done?
I think, 100%. Yeah. Well, it's funny because it reminded me of Endgame.
Just the way that
they were leaving everything. It kind of felt like, I was like, oh, it feels like Endgame. And Endgame felt like a season finale. It's a mark of a good finale when you're satisfied with the personal stories that they told throughout, while also looking forward to everything that they set up through subplots. And we were wondering when those things would come into play. And it looks like they're setting them up for future seasons, future antagonists, future arcs. So a lot of exciting stuff. And I know you're a big fan of getting answers. Got a lot of answers in this episode.
Yeah. Is perfect too cliche of a word to say? Or is that too bold to say for a season debut?
No, not for you, because you don't say it often, man. It's only El Camino's only get 10 out of 10s from you.
No, man. They wrapped up every story perfect.
Yeah.
That, dude, the whole thing with Omni-Man, really finding out where he comes from and his whole reason for being on Earth.
Right, that's the title of the episode, Where I Really Come From.
I can't be more happy than how they wrapped him up. And him just leaving, you nailed that too. Just getting out of here.
Well, the idea of them being Saiyans is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's what we were kind of talking about in the last review. Maybe it's a situation where he was sent to conquer and he kind of forgets his duties and his responsibilities. But it's weird because I think there were hints at how he's truly feeling conflicted. But for a time in this episode, I thought, he's just out of his mind. He's just embracing the war effort.
When he said that he thought of his wife more like a dog, and
that hurt me.
Yeah, that's man, I couldn't imagine going through that. But and also when he's like, what was it, 17 years, I can just have another kid.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
He's going to kill him. I'll wait for the Guardians. What the hell are they doing? I mean, the Guardians can't come up and do something?
They don't want that smoke.
Yeah, they would have been turned into a Guardian's pretzel.
I mean, do your job.
Fucking beat the brakes off of Mark. It was fucking brutal, man. Especially the couple things that stand out is when he saves the pilot and he just squishes his head right in front of him. He's like, you did that for nothing. And when he is holding him in the train and just obliterating everything in its path and blood's going everywhere and people are dying. That and the arm, when he finds the arm in the rubble.
Dude, this show pulls the curtains.
So fucking intense.
I think that train sequence, sorry to cut you off, Ted, is maybe the most disturbing thing that's ever happened to a superhero.
Yeah.
I
better train sequence than that or Spider-Man?
All the people are just dead. I think better would be Spider-Man, because I just don't want anyone to go through this again. Thank God he was able to hold that train.
What's your favorite train, Ted? You seen any good train videos lately?
No,
oh,
I haven't.
Boy. What are you on, Freddie Gibbs' Twitter feed?
This show pulls the curtain back on everything you want. Like, you don't necessarily want to see, but you're asking yourself the questions like Superman just got put through a building. What happens now with everyone that's in the building? When you actually see it, happening in front of you, it's like, oh, do I really want to see this? This is brutal.
It's that sequence when he tosses him into the busy street. It's like an avalanche is coming. From the ground perspective.
Yeah.
And he flies through and he's destroying everything. You don't see any blood until he really starts to come to. And he's looking around and he sees a headless woman and all the blood and all the destruction. I thought that sequence was directed so well. But they've done that throughout the season. It's like this sort of Whiplash violence where you're not expecting it, but this is what would happen. If Omni-Man decided to toss Mark like that.
You need that to keep the show going, though, because at some point... You can sometimes think that is this too much, but this is what this show is about.
No, it's violence for a reason. Yeah. Omni-Man in these moments, I saw it as he was trying to break his humanity.
Right,
and we'll get into more of Omni-Man's mindset, but just showing him how meaningless life can be, and eventually that hoping that Mark would become numb to it. And
That's an intense way to try to get your point across. Like he said, he fucked up. He should have done it little by little. But I think that most superhero, like Avengers or even Man of Steel, like you see all that destruction. You don't really get the ground level. They show bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I know in Ultron when they kind of show the Hulk realizing what he's done and things like that, but never to this extent. And even in BVS, they try to do it with Batman on the street level and seeing what was going on. It's, you know, you see, like, just chaos, but you don't see the fucking dismembered bodies and crushed skulls. And obviously, PG-13, you really can't do that. But with this, it's the actual real-life portrayal of what would happen if these two fucking mammoth, super-powered people had just a conflict.
Right. But here's the thing. In Batman vs. Superman, it just seems like it's senseless destruction. It's like things that wouldn't be happening during that destruction is what they're showing in Batman vs. Superman. And this, it's showing what actually will happen if this goes down in the city.
Yeah, like it is the violence. I think they did a better job in the sequel explaining the repercussions of two superpowered beings destroying a city. But yeah, like we mentioned, that the violence is intentional here. It's for Omni-Man trying to prove his point. You said maybe there's a better way. But I think with Omni-Man, we were wondering why he was so concerned about Mark getting his powers. And I think they answered that in the beginning here. I think when he realized that he got his powers, a lot of the episode is him telling him, you know, why would you want to live your life and watch everything that you love die? I thought that was him admitting his own insecurities with the fact that he's immortal. You could just basically replace Mark with a mirror, and he's having this conversation with himself. So I thought that we answered that question as well. And also, why did he kill the Guardians? I think it's twofold. It's taking out the biggest threat to your to you conquering this planet, and also seeing if you could do it, if you could kill your friends, because he is able to kill the Guardians, but in this episode, he isn't able to kill Mark because he has that flashback and he still has that attachment and that love there. So I thought that stuff was very fascinating and some good explanations here.
I genuinely think that I want to agree with you because it does, what you're saying does make sense, but I genuinely think that he's a bad person. And he took out the Guardians for the war effort.
Well, no, yeah, I think that's very clear that he's a terrible person in this episode.
I mean, like, pure evil. Like, I know he has the conflict, but I think his conflict is going to go away. I think he's going to go home to Viltrumite, and they'll talk some sense to him, and they're going to come back.
Yes, I think that what we're seeing is being set up is Vader over the course of 4 or 5 seasons, where he's not going to get his redemption in one moment. It's something that's being built up and led to. I guess it's similar with Vader, but Vader is very much I'm evil, and then in a split second he's good. I think it is similar.
Does Omni-Man get redemption from what he did, though? I mean,
not necessarily redemption, but the way that they set up at the end when Alan comes back and says that the coalition of planets are going to stand against Viltrum, maybe Omni-Man, and he mentions that a Viltrum has never ever left their post ever. This is the first time with Omni-Man, so that's conflict right there.
Yeah.
Where you have this Spartan, a Saiyan, essentially,
yeah,
going against the war effort. What, I mean, maybe we'll get more information as to who's running that empire. Who's Omni-Man's superior? We talked about this as well. Will there be some repercussions for him abandoning his post? They're not going to understand. They're not going to fucking care.
What's higher than Omni? Omni.
Dude, Omega Man.
Why does everyone that wants to conquer Earth, or everyone's conquering, is always eliminated by half? Because he says that...
They did that on their own planet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, after the big fight, half the population was left. Watching Omni-Man's character development is probably the closest thing for me to Thanos. You know, just the way he thinks, they put you in his shoes, where it's what side of the fence are you on? You understand where he's coming from as he's saying it. You know, he's not from Earth. This is his job. Like, he disguised it well. We grew to love him, but this isn't who he is.
I mean, all the explanations for why he's here and what the ultimate plan is, I think was very intriguing. And I'm very interested to see how that plays out. Like you said, he did leave his post. Is he going back for reinforcements, or is he just going to go somewhere and just kind of relax for a little and kind of reevaluate what happened? But him there in this whole episode, man, or that first half, just as like the look in his eyes, he had the bloodshot eyes, blood on his suit, him saying all this shit to Mark, it was some of the most like brutal, heartbreaking television I've ever seen. And like you said, that flashback was kind of sad, kind of a dick. I mean, just let his son play baseball. By the way, that was an error at third, so it's not a real home run for Mark. I hope the scorekeeper jotted that down. Like, it took until that moment to kind of for him to reevaluate his own humanity and Mark and his life with his family. You know, as much as he was trying to, obviously he was going not going easy on him, but he knew the limits until the very end when he just keeps pummeling him. I thought he might have could have died.
Me too, man. He was an inch away from death.
And I kept saying, how are his teeth still in his mouth? Yeah. And then he fucking knocked his teeth out. I'm like, okay.
I guess that's part of being a Viltrum, that they just grow them back perfectly. A Viltrumite.
Yeah.
No matter how many times this kid's in the hospital, he comes back the next day. His hair's perfect.
Totally white.
Yo, healthcare in this world is legit.
Yeah. You know, that Cecil healthcare is
well,
really
it's probably
legit.
Only for the heroes.
Speaking God of Cecil.
It. Even in fiction.
Cecil might be
keeping
the only
us out of the loop.
Yeah.
Cecil might be the only government worker that I enjoy on TV, where it's not like, oh, man, he's being a real dick. Like, I really can't stand when he comes on the screen. But between him and Nick Fury, I don't know who to take.
We were wondering if DC's Batman would be able to survive the Omni-Man attack. Would he have had a contingency plan? And I argue that DC's Batman is Cecil. This is what Batman would be doing. I'm just going to run the government. I'm going to have every contingency. Like, in this world where there is no kryptonite, where there's no one weakness that you can target, this is what Batman would be doing. He wouldn't be running around.
And it looked like that's what they were chefing up when he goes to the secret lab.
Right.
I'm done drinking tap water, by the way. I low-key believe what Cecil said about
you got to avoid the drinking tap water. It's fluoride. They say fluoride. That might be what's keeping us from seeing those light frequencies. But yeah, no, it does look like they're building some sort of technology that could possibly defeat powerful beings like Invincible and Omni-Man, and also maybe trying to bring back Immortal one more time.
That worked very well the first two times.
Okay, I'm getting sick of this guy.
They better be juicing him up.
Hey, they juiced
we
up
didn't really
Hail Mary.
Touch upon that. That yeah,
that is true.
That for him, it must have been a split second of being killed by Omni-Man, and all of a sudden you wake up, and that's your first thought.
Yeah.
Because people were saying, why not approach that with a better plan? But that's a split second. He's dead. He's alive. Omni-Man.
Yeah, in his eyes, you know,
he's going to wake up again.
They need to put this motherfucker in chains. Seriously, just hold him back. And that's how the episode opens, right? His body just split in half right in front of Mark. Mark thinks that Omni-Man's being mind-controlled. He's trying,
very graphic shots throughout this episode. Not just what happened. The shots that you see were very graphic.
Your
disturbing.
Your Thanos point is a good point because I understand why Omni-Man is doing this, but I never rooted for him.
Right.
He's sympathetic, but I desperately wanted Mark to be able to somehow beat this guy.
Me too.
I was rooting so hard for Mark, even though you know he doesn't stand a chance. And
but that's what this show, the grounding on this show is flawless, or it's perfect because Mark can't beat him, you know, and there's no reason that he should beat him. He's not strong enough for Omni-Man. And it wasn't like just last-ditch effort, flip the switch, and now I can beat the shit out of Omni-Man. It didn't happen. He left.
He needs to start training.
Yes, he does.
I wonder if they'll do that.
Imagine if Viltrum comes with all power. They're fucked.
Yeah.
Imagine two Omni-Mans. Are you kidding? A whole fucking planet's coming to your crib?
No, not good at all.
I was such a fan of the way that they left everything because they're setting up the Guardians to be the Justice League of this world, and Mark will, you know, Omni-Man never joined the Guardians because he didn't want to be under their command. With Mark, he doesn't feel that he's ready, that he wants to get stronger, to really come into his own until he feels that he can lead this team, and he will be their Omni-Man replacement. He'll be their Superman in this world.
Do you think they...
So hopefully he's definitely got to get stronger if Battle Beast comes back. Let's worry about Battle Beast first.
Yeah, exactly. He has a lot more on his plate than just his dad, dude.
Because he's got some rematches in his future.
Do you guys think they made Omni-Man too OP, where now it's like, what can beat him?
Mark.
Yeah, but his dad is 40, and he says that they age like crazy.
He's going to get
like,
better.
You think so?
He's going to get better. He's the Guardians are going to get better. They also showed those aliens that were the planet that he destroyed. They seem to want revenge on Omni-Man as well. So they might join the coalition of planets.
Maybe Battle Beast joins.
Battle Beast,
you know, it's Earth, you know? That's when everyone comes together. Even though Battle Beast doesn't look to be from this planet, but...
Yeah, I don't know where he was.
He just jumped into the portal and left.
Right.
He was OP.
He just dipped.
Kidding me?
Yeah, that's the thing. No, I think it's... We always wanted... It's fun to think about what Superman could theoretically do
right.
with his power. That if he wanted to, he can squish Batman like a bug. He can destroy a planet by just acting like a human bullet, moving at supersonic speed. He can take his son and hold him in front of a moving train and not budge. there are no limitations for what they'll show us when it comes to this. There's nothing off limits when it comes to Omni-Man in this first season.
It's almost and like
it's
you're
a
watching...
gradual build. I mean, like I said, the whiplash violence where you have that crazy ending in episode one, and then things calm down. You see his domestic life, and then the mystery unfolds. And these last two episodes were just cranking it up, man.
It's almost like you're watching just to see what they're gonna do next with a graphic shot. Or how someone will die next episode.
Yeah, and as good as and intense that first half was, I really like the second half, like we touched on, just how they're setting everything up. I think the moments of Mark and his mother trying to kind of, I guess, now adjust to what they've witnessed and what they know now. I mean, you saw her reaction, just crying and not being able to leave her bed. And, you know, I kind of like Mark's little crew. I think that's a nice little friend group there to support him. And with Eve, Amber, and William, I think those are nice moments. Like them, a little funny too when he's like bringing it up. He's like, "Well, we have nothing really else to talk about. It's the only thing that's on the news here." And him slipping up and giving up his secret identity right away
to everyone that pulls up.
They have a great dynamic, and like you said, showing all these other different characters, the villains that they set up, and potential plot lines going forward at the end. In that montage, I thought. Was really well done, a nice way to wrap the season and kind of get a, build anticipation for what's to come. And I think they just got renewed for two more seasons.
Today. Yeah, season two and three.
What's crazy is that even any of those plot lines that they showed when Alan asks him what he's going to do next, each one of those plot lines could be its own season.
Yeah.
Like that, I really want to see how it plays out with Titan.
Yeah, there's just so many different characters where you just have to give them the benefit of the doubt at this point because season one was done so well, and we kind of guessed this that the ending of season one was going to be a personal ending and leaving these subplots for future seasons. But going back to their reactions, coming home, character like Debbie, I can't imagine the amount of emotions that she was feeling. It's almost like your husband died. Right, she's feeling
worse.
Lost.
I'd rather my husband dead.
Right,
yeah.
Right, but it's
to find out like your significant other like didn't care about you, thought you as a pet, and literally just thought of you as nothing.
Right, and I think for her, I still think Omni-Man was lying to Mark in those moments. I think he was really just trying to hurt him. And she even says, "I wish that he would just come back and things would just go back to normal." That's a simple fix, right? But yeah, what do you even say to a character like that who's experiencing that? It's
plenty of fish in the sea.
Plenty of it's a one-of-one situation.
Yeah, you'll pick it up.
I feel like most guys wouldn't be super-powered mass murderers, so that's a good thing.
She probably feels like a bit of a failure. She always felt that she was the one who taught Nolan about humanity and helped him become a hero, and you see that in that moment, that flashback, and now look what happened.
She essentially did, though. He, like you said, he's conflicted now, you know?
Yeah,
what,
maybe
what
that,
she did affected him.
Down the road, I definitely think they're going to be reunited as a family, without a doubt. And
I think if Nolan just fucking beating the shit out of his son, killing all his people, and be like, well, did I fuck up?
I think I made a mistake. I think I went too far. A character like Debbie may be somebody who can drag him back to the light. Not even drag him back to the light, but influence his decisions to maybe stand with Earth at one point. Mark even says when he's got his back to Mark, he said, I've seen you save people time and time again. And like I've mentioned, he's not cruel in moments where he's trying to interrogate or intimidate. There are some other ways that he could have gone about
he's just menacing.
Covering his tracks. Right, he's menacing because when you have that power, he's more like Daenerys than I would say even a Homelander. Homelander seems more unhinged, unstable. Omni-Man knows what he's doing.
Right.
Like, he may go too far, but he's a super-powered fucking warmongering demigod.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, because he wasn't conflicted at those times. Maybe now he might be a little different, but he was doing everything for a reason. There was never a point where he was questioning what was going on.
I also think there can be an aspect of maybe they don't tell them what they really do to these planets. Because he's saying that if you guys just submit, life will be better for you. But maybe it's not that simple.
He had me thinking, like, yo, right, join the cause, man. You see what they got going on at Viltrum?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a fucking planet of absolute crazies. That's why he doesn't side with his dad.
Yeah.
Because he's got his crew. He's got his friends. He's got his life. And even if he's going to live for thousands and thousands of years.
What would you do if you found that out?
Cry a little bit.
What, that you're a Viltrum? You're from Viltrum?
That, no, like, you're just going to live longer than everybody you've ever loved.
Cancel my life insurance?
Yeah. You know, when you put it like that, your point makes a lot more sense.
About Omni-Man.
Yeah, that he's he hates his life. And
we
he hates
talked
what
about
he's
this
at.
On a podcast the other day, that eternal life is terrifying.
Yeah.
And especially when you're going to watch when everyone else doesn't have it.
Damn. That's sad.
That's Mark, that. Mark, while you flipped the switch on him. I got you, Dad.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, and the way that they drew him, where he's just standing over him like a fucking ape or something.
Yeah.
His face is, his mustache is mean. That's a mean mustache in those moments.
Just hearing him gargle, too. Oh, brutal. Brutal scenes.
Yeah, some of the shots where Mark is just, the way that he lies down next to him as well. He's a conflicted man. He really is. And we're definitely, obviously, we're going to see more of him. But who knows where, maybe he's on the run now. Maybe he's a fugitive. Because maybe they catch wind that he's left his post.
I wonder if having a son was a bad thing.
Yeah, did they answer that question,
He's though? Very much just enticed by humanity, right? The wife, the kid, the domestic
life. Yes, you gotta fit in.
You gotta fit in.
Which I never get in these cartoons. Like, obviously, he's the largest human being of all time. No one can connect the dots.
And he wears no mask.
You gotta forgive that shit.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like when William, like, or they figure out it's Amber.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I could see it.
No, he's like, oh, yeah, you can make yourself into, like, four. You know, they really sunned Adam Eve like that.
She's so Adam distinct. Eve she's, yeah, she's such a standout hero, bright pink. Oh, you're Duplicate, the hero that banged my ex. Well, the stuff with the Guardians in this episode was great as well, when Rex goes to wipe off the blood stain and Black Samson has that kind of final lesson to show that they are a team.
They're ready to fucking scrap, huh?
Yeah, no, they were ready to, and it goes to show that a character like Rex Blood, who was such an asshole and obnoxious guy in the beginning, now he's inspiring his teammates. Where if Black Samson's going to step to him, they're going to have his back. And that's a crew that's really grown on me, I think, as a team, where I want to see how they work together. I want to see how they win and how they fail and how they're going to have a relationship with Mark.
They're not really there yet for me, because I just don't really believe in them.
No, I don't believe in them either. No, yeah. They kind of do suck, but this is the start.
Yeah,
this
all
right,
is
kind of the first step into becoming the team that maybe will lead the coalition of planets in that inevitable war.
Well, Robot really pulled the rug under the Mahler twins.
Yeah, set them off.
Well, is he? No, he's not a Robot anymore. What is he?
Rudy.
Rudy. I thought it was funny when they go back to jail and the guy with the missing arm.
With the cast on.
Yeah, they broke out.
And Monster Girl seemed to be more open to Rudy in this episode.
I think they're a thing, though.
Right, she pokes him in the heart and says, hey, you're not a machine anymore, kid.
Figure it out.
That was nice. So, yeah, fucking also, too, what's his name? Cecil. He's got that army now of those robot thingies.
Yeah, he was working with D.A. Sinclair. Gives him the thumbs up. You imagine if they're ever going to lose control of that army, and that's going to be another subplot. Invincible.
You got to think, because he's evil at heart, man. You got to think he's setting something up with those.
Well, not even that Sinclair's evil, but that it's a technology that he can't maybe control. Because they were fucking, like you said,
they were bodying
licks on Omni.
They were.
You fine-tune that? You drop the second version?
I think we're ready for Omni-Man.
The update?
You think after that montage, yeah, we're already ready for Omni-Man. You know what? Come back, fucker.
We got you. 1 year.
That was funny.
I wonder what the timeline will be for next year. Or for next next year. I wonder what the timeline will be for next season.
When do you think they bring Omni-Man back? He's definitely not going to be in the first half of season
halfway
yeah,
through.
I'd say midway to the end of season two.
Do you think that it will be a situation where we see where he is in his travels? This is where Omni-Man is. He's not coming to Earth. He's interacting with newer characters.
That's, you know, I guess that's the whole point of a cliffhanger, because that's the one thing I want to know is where did he go? So you got to answer that question.
A cosmic nomad wandering the galaxies, maybe on the run, maybe looking for allies. Who knows?
He's just going home.
Yeah. Hey,
I fucked up.
Earth's good.
Remember Earth?
We got it.
Yeah, no, they're...
Yeah, they signed... I left the sheet back there, but they're on board.
They signed a 10,000-year contract. Player option for 5,000 more. What did you think about that? Well, we talked about that with Cecil. What I found very inspirational in this episode, and of course it's a heartbreaking moment for Mark, but he's fighting against his dad, who he's loved and admired and has tried to emulate his entire life, And he's getting this heartbreaking news that his dad is a conqueror, that he was only pretending to be this hero for the last 17 years. And for Mark to be able to resist that, for his humanity not to break, for him to plant his feet, to stand firm in the face of an omnipotent hero, was, to me, it was inspirational, and it indicates that he will become that hero that his father was only pretending to be. You imagine that this was enticing. Let's join my dad, right? He's my dad, and we're going to conquer the world. But no, Mark was unbreakable in this moment. Not invincible, but unbreakable. Do you think that eventually he will formally join the Guardians?
I think so. I think, unlike his father, that's something that he would do. I think him and Adam Eve probably join as well.
You pick up Adam Eve and Mark. That's not a bad crew.
Yeah, it's just a championship team right there.
It is. You make a run.
I wonder how, if he's
They're
going
like the
to...
Nets right now. Just waiting for Kyrie and KD to come on the team. They sign a free agency.
I wonder if the PTSD of him experiencing everything over these past few episodes comes back to haunt him. He does put down the photograph. He puts it face down.
He left the other one up, though.
Right, yeah. So I wonder how that's going to impact him.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see him dealing with that grief going forward. I wonder how long... I mean, we see the difference between Mark and Iron Man. Obviously, his willingness to oppose his father and not give in, but just him... Little things like him saying he's not ready. You know, that awareness and knowing that there's a lot I need to figure out and a lot more I need to, I guess, fine-tune before I can become this world's next Iron Man or a true savior of Earth. And it's very mature and very, I guess... And it just shows a lot about his character, and I think we'll see him come into his own and kind of deal with that grief, and eventually I think he'll join the team. You give him the C right away, right?
Say that again?
You give him the C right away, right?
The C?
The captain.
Oh, captain. I don't like captains.
No?
I don't like the C on the jersey. I like captains, not the C, though. That's a Red Sox thing. Jeter never had the C.
He didn't need the C, though.
Exactly. Invincible won't need
it. All right, that makes sense.
He changes his costume. It's a giant C. Invincible. I'm the captain here. The animation in this episode, I think throughout the season, has been really great. But this episode, the one sequence that really stands out to me is when Omni-Man is evading all the missiles from the fighter jet. That was awesome. And you mentioned that it's like watching Dragon Ball Z when they were zipping around, the red streak tossing the blue streak. This felt like round one of the inevitable three-round grudge match these two.
You know, that's what Dragon Ball Z did so good, too. It made you feel like you yourself can't watch them either because of how fast they are.
Right.
How good they are.
Yeah, that different. It's funny because I just saw Demon Slayer over the weekend, and they had an element of that, too, where two characters are fighting, and the other characters are like, we can't even jump in here because we can't follow these movements.
I like the shot of the red and blue streaks flying through the air.
Yeah, that was really good. Just a couple of shots when Mark's just pulverized in the mountain, Omni-Man overlooking him. Some of the shots of Omni-Man floating above Mark were so good. The animation has been a standout, and it's impressive. An 8-episode, 40 minutes each. You imagine that the budget had to have been pretty high because animated shows don't usually run this long for episodes.
Standout episode overall. I think it's probably between this and last episode, if you view them as a two-parter, they're both phenomenal.
Right.
And the two best of the season, which is saying a lot because it's been a great season.
Yeah, and it was so disturbing to watch that news broadcast when they talk about the deaths being incalculable. You wonder how this is going to change society. They do say that in the narration, that this is the day that the world changed forever. So this maybe will be their blip moment. You have to imagine the entire world feels betrayed because Amber says, you know, I wasn't the only one who's being lied to, but Omni-Man was the world's hero. He was their Captain America, their Superman, and now he does this and then fucking gets the hell out of Dodge. That's got to be a traumatic thing for the entire planet. Can you imagine if The Rock did this?
Just think about how vulnerable you
are.
That's
what it would be like.
Seriously. You know? Definitely one of the best season finales that I've ever witnessed. And like I said, I'm just so excited to see that seasons 2 and 3 are confirmed. There's so much that's set up. There's so much more that they can give us with these characters. You imagine that this is just the tip of the iceberg. So can't wait to jump right back into it.
Yeah, I'm going to need Amazon to like finish 2 and 3 and get those out immediately.
I'm gonna need those next week.
Yeah.
I'll email Jeff.
Jeff. But thank you guys for joining us for this review. Comment your thoughts down below on season one and the season finale. Like, share it, do all that stuff, and join us for future reviews of future shows that are hopefully as good as Invincible. If not, we won't review them. So don't join us for that.
Is anything worth watching now after watching Invincible?
I hate that after a good show. I really do.
It's like, what's going to top this?
I just don't want to watch anything.
Yeah.
Today I've been feeling that way where I don't want to watch a movie. I just want to rewatch Invincible.
Like, now we got no Cap. We got no Falcon and Winter Soldier for tomorrow.
Waiting for those random HBO haters.
Yeah, they've been slacking, man.
We haven't had one in a while.
HBO, step your shit up and be in touch. Well, would you look at that? It's finally over. Hey guys, Beau Oliver here for one final send-off. Now, before I beg you guys to like and share this video, I'd like to thank our very special Patreon pledgers. We are very proud of the community we've been able to build here at NerdTube, and it would not have been possible without our Patreon supporters. You guys are the true MVPs of this channel. Everything I've said, you keep the fridge full, you keep the lights on. There aren't enough words to thank you guys, but we'll do it anyway. Thank you. And we have a few videos coming up that have been suggested to us by Patreon pledgers. My Hero Academia, Neon Genesis Evangelion, and Full Metal Alchemist will be reviewed by Marissa and yours truly, and Castlevania, which will be reviewed by Marissa and Aaron. And if you'd like to consider donating to our Patreon page, you can visit patreon.com/nerdzoop and check out some of the rewards we offer to our listeners. And really, we'd like to thank everyone who takes the time out of their day to watch our videos. Patreon pledger or not, your support is what keeps us motivated to keep giving the world our opinions on movies and TV shows and video games and pop culture, even though no one asked for it. We're still here, we're still yapping, and we hope you continue to join us. I'm Beau Oliver, and I support this message.